In this lecture, we'll move on and have a look at the taxation of UK bank and building society interest. If you recall from the previous lecture, our pro forma tax computation differentiates between non-savings income, interest, and dividends.
Non-savings income includes employment income such as salaries and benefits, etc., and income from property.
We totaled the non-savings income to give us net income. From this, we deducted the personal allowance, and that gave us taxable non-savings income.
This taxable non-savings income we then taxed at 20%, 40%, and at 50% rates. We're now going to concentrate on the centre column in your pro forma, which is the taxation of bank interest. This will be added to non-savings income to increase the net income and therefore increase our taxable income. However, the reason we keep interest separate from non-savings income is that bank interest is sometimes taxed at different rates.
Bank interest will either be received gross or it will be received net. By gross, we mean that the interest is received with no tax having been deducted at source. So what the taxpayer receives is the gross amount. By net, we mean the bank or building society will withhold tax before paying the interest to the taxpayer. So what the taxpayer receives is a net amount after tax has been deducted. This distinction is extremely important. Where interest is received gross, the gross amount is entered into the centre column, the interest column, in the income tax computation. This gross amount is the same as the interest actually received. However, where interest is received net, so the taxpayer receives taxed income, it is always important to remember that we enter the gross amount in the income tax computation. Therefore, when interest is received net, we need to convert this into a gross figure by a process known as grossing up. We'll deal with grossing up on a later slide. Let us now have a look at the types of interest that are received gross, i.e. received without deduction of tax. Most interest paid to taxpayers in the UK is paid net. Therefore, most taxpayers will receive taxed income. So, for example, interest received from a UK high street bank or interest received from a UK building society will generally be net of tax. There are, however, a number of instances where interest is paid to taxpayers without deduction of tax, and these sources of gross untaxed interest are given below.
Interest credited to national savings accounts, such as the Easy Access Savings Account, is always credited gross.
Interest received on 3.5% war loan is received gross, as is interest on government stocks or gilts.
Interest on qualifying time deposits or money market accounts is credited gross. Finally, non-taxpayers can elect to receive any bank or building society interest gross by filling in a form R85 and sending it to their bank or building society. Non-taxpayers will be taxpayers whose income is below the personal allowance, these most commonly being children or elderly taxpayers. Most interest paid in the UK is paid net of tax. So what the taxpayer will receive is taxed income.
Taxed income will include interest credited to a UK bank account. And here we exclude national savings. Interest credited to a building society account. And any interest paid on debentures or bonds.
This interest will be received after tax has been deducted at source, at the lower rate of 20%. So, for example, if a taxpayer receives net interest of £800 on a building society account, before this is credited, tax of £200 would have been deducted at source. As such, the gross amount, i.e. the amount before any tax was deducted, would have been £1,000. You will see, therefore, the tax at 20%, i.e. £200, is deducted from the gross of £1,000 to give us the net interest received of £800. As far as your income tax computation is concerned, it is very, very important to remember that every figure that goes into an income tax computation is the gross figure. As a result, where you are given the net figure in the question, it is important to gross it up before entering the gross figure into the tax computation. So, in this example, we would take the net figure of £800 and gross it up by multiplying by 100 divided by 80 to give us the gross figure of £1,000. And it is this £1,000 that goes into the centre column, the interest column, in your tax computation. Remember that your client will tell you the amount of interest he has actually received, and in most cases, this will be the net amount. So we need to gross this up and put the gross amount into the tax computation. Let us now have a look at how bank interest is dealt with in the tax computation. Bank interest is always taxed after non-savings income, i.e., after any earned income or rental income.
There are four possible rates of tax applying to interest, that is 10%, 20%, 40%, or 50%. Interest is always taxed after non-savings income. In most instances, interest will be taxed at the same rate as non-savings income, i.e. at 20% within the basic rate band, at 40% above the higher rate threshold, and at 50% above the additional rate threshold. Let's illustrate this by way of an example. On the screen in front of you, you will see the example of Mr. Banks.
He has a salary of £35,000, from which PAYE of £5,000 has been deducted, and Building Society interest received of £11,200.
As this is interest from a building society, it has been received net of 20% tax. Our requirement here is to calculate Mr. Banks's tax due.
We have to divide Mr. Banks' income into its non-savings and interest components. So we start off with his income from employment, which is £35,000.
Next, we take his interest. The net interest received is £11,200, so we need to gross this up for lower rate tax by multiplying by 100 over 80. This will give us gross interest of £14,000, and remember, it is the gross interest figure that goes into our income tax computation.
Net income is £35,000 of non-savings and £14,000 of interest. From this, we deduct the personal allowance of £6,475. In all our tax computations, the personal allowance is taken from non-savings income in priority to bank interest. If there is insufficient non-savings income, so let's say our non-savings income would have been less than £6,475, any excess personal allowance can be deducted from the bank interest. Here, the non-savings income of £35,000 less the personal allowance gives taxable non-savings income of £28,525 and taxable bank interest of £14,000.
Having arrived at taxable income, the next step is to tax it. The non-savings income is below the higher rate threshold, so is fully taxed at the basic rate of 20%. The bank interest is taxed at the lower rate of 20% and the higher rate of 40%.
We start by taxing the non-savings income of £28,525. This is taxed at the basic rate of 20%, to give tax of £5,705. Next, we turn our attention to the bank interest of £14,000. Up to now, we have only taxed £28,525 of total income. we haven't yet reached the basic rate limit of £37,400. So some of the basic rate band is remaining. This basic rate band will be taken up by the bank interest, which will be taxed at 20%. As £28,525 of the basic rate band of £37,400 has been used up, £8,875 of the basic rate band is still left. This £8,875 is bank interest, which will therefore be taxed at 20%, giving tax of £1,775. So, of the £14,000 of taxable bank interest, we have taxed £8,875, which leaves £5,125 of the bank interest remaining. This will be taxed at the higher rate of 40%, giving tax of £2,050. If we add the tax figures together, this gives a tax liability of £9,530. The question asked us to calculate Mr. Banks' tax due. His tax due is the tax liability less any tax that Mr. Banks has already paid at source. £5,000 of tax was withheld from Mr. Banks' salary under PAYE. Don't forget that Mr. Banks did not receive £14,000 of bank interest. He only received £11,200 net, because £2,800 of tax was deducted at source.
This tax deducted by the Building Society from Mr. Banks' interest, being £14,000 at 20%, can therefore be deducted to give us tax due for the year of
£1,730.
The 10% starting rate used to apply for all forms of income. However, the 10% band was abolished for non-savings income from 2008-09 to make way for the basic rate to be reduced from 22% to 20%.
However, the 10% starting rate still applies for interest income, but only where taxable non-savings income is less than £2,440. Where taxable non-savings income is less than £2,440 and the taxpayer has some interest income, first, the taxable non-savings income, if any, is taxed at 20%, and then the difference between the taxable non-savings income and £2,440 is taxed at 10%.
Any interest income thereafter is taxed at 20%, 40% or 50% as normal.
By way of an illustration, Mrs. Robertson has a part-time job paying her £130 per week. Her only other income is Building Society interest of £36,000 per annum.
We'll calculate her tax due for 2010-11.
Her non-savings income at £130 per week is £6,760 per annum. We gross up her interest at 100 over 80, giving £45,000. Personal allowances are deducted from non-savings income, giving Mrs. Robertson taxable non-savings income of £285. Taxable interest is £45,000. We now need to tax this. The taxable non-savings income of £285 is taxed at the basic rate of 20%, giving tax of £57. Taxable non-savings income is less than £2,440. Therefore, some of Mrs. Robertson's Building Society interest will be taxed at the starting rate of 10%. The difference between the taxable non-savings income of £285 and the starting rate band of £2,440 is £2,155. Therefore, the first £2,155 of Mrs. Robertson's interest is only taxed at 10%. This gives tax of £215. The basic rate limit is £37,400. So far, we have taxed £2,440 of Mrs. Robertson's income. Therefore, the basic rate band remaining is £34,960. This will be interest income, taxable at 20%, giving tax of £6,992. The rest of the interest, so far untaxed, is £45,000 less £2,155 less £34,960, giving £7,885. Tax at 40% on this is £3,154, giving Mrs. Robertson a tax liability, before tax credits, of £10,418. Tax deducted at source from the interest is £9,000, leaving Mrs. Robertson with extra tax due of £1,418.
Do remember that the 10% band for interest is only available for taxpayers with small amounts or no amount of non-savings income. For most taxpayers, the 10% band will not be available. Finally, in this session, a few words about the disclosure of overseas bank interest. UK banks and building societies have an obligation to notify HMRC of any interest credited to accounts of UK resident taxpayers. HMRC use this information to cross-check against tax returns to ensure that all interest has been fully disclosed. However, where a UK taxpayer has an overseas bank account, there has historically been no way for HMRC to obtain information regarding interest credited to those accounts. This has given rise to a loss of tax where UK resident taxpayers have allegedly failed to declare overseas bank interest. As a result of cross-border cooperation between EU tax authorities, the EU Savings Directive was implemented from the 1st of July 2005. The directive applies to all EU member states and related territories. As a result, EU member countries had to decide whether to either exchange information relating to bank interest credited to accounts held by persons who are not resident for tax purposes in that country, but who are resident for tax purposes in another EU country, or apply a special withholding tax on such bank interest as well as deducting local tax, if any. The tax withheld from the overseas bank interest is given as a credit when calculating UK income tax. It is treated as a payment on account of UK tax. Should a taxpayer be in a repayment position, he will be able to obtain a repayment of this tax from HMRC. It is possible to apply to HMRC for a certificate to avoid this tax withholding. The foreign bank will thereafter pay the interest gross. The individual will then authorise a paying agent to report details of the savings income to its tax authority, who will, in turn, supply it to HMRC. At present, Austria, Belgium and Luxembourg apply the special withholding tax, while other EU members will exchange information.